This is an oral history interview with Philip Seljavold for the Northwest Minnesota Historical Center on July 10th, 1986, in the category is Education. Phil, do you want to start off by telling us some of your background in school? I suppose you could start with grade school and work your way right on up.
Well, I started my grade school in second grade out in Averill, Minnesota, not very far from here. And that was really a nice little school for a small town like that. It had a nice gymnasium, which I was always appreciative. And it was a two-room school. I think we had the first four grades in one room, and the top four in the second, top four grades in the second room. And I thought I had a real good education out there. We had a tradition out in Averill to have student teachers from Moore State University come out, and so we had a variety of students, but I think the caliber of the teachers that we had at that time were very good.
It was rather unique to have a gymnasium in those rural schools, wasn't it?
It was, and if you look at it, I suppose from now it would be quite small, but when we were elementary kids, it was a pretty nice gym, and I was kind of a gym rat. I spent a lot of time in there. I found a way to get around the janitor like I have the rest of my life, I guess, to get into the gymnasium whenever I could. And so I had a chance to start playing basketball when I was quite young.
Now, did you have two teachers?
Two teachers.
There? Do you remember their names?
Well, there was Florence Norell at one time, and there was a Harold Espeseth. There was a Opal Haug. And there's one that slips my mind.
Okay. And now, again, this time at Averill, when would that have started?
I think I started school out there in 1934.
In 34. Now, I understand the Averill school is gone now.
Yes, they made it into a granary, and then they finally tore it down. But that was really a nice school, and during the WPA days, they remodeled it, and it was quite a school.
How did they heat the building?
Well, they had a steam heat. They had a heating plant, and they used coal, I'm sure.
Okay. Did they have a hot lunch program at all?
Well, we did in sorts. I think that we had a little fruit jar that we brought from home. Our mother would provide something, and they would heat that up for us, and we ate pretty well.
Okay. Let's move on from Averill to Moorhead High School.
Well, I moved into Moorhead in 1940. I think I started eighth grade at the Old Central Junior High School. At that time, that building, I think, was 2 years old, so I was in there when it was quite new, and that was a nice facility. And then I continued my education, graduated from Moorhead High School in 1945.
Okay, when you were in high school, I imagine you took part in athletics there. Could you tell us something about the athletic program as you remember it from your high school days?
Well, I remember in our junior high school that we had a very extensive intramural program. There was something within the city of Fargo-Moorhead where they thought it was students in junior high school were too young to compete in organized teams for some reason. But we did have a good intramural program. A fellow by the name of Doc Sheffield, that is kind of a tradition with people at that time. We all kind of worshiped that man. He was a pretty well-built fellow, and we really liked him. And you know, we did have football and basketball and track. And we received an intramural letter by gaining a number of points. We had to go out for a number of activities, which I thought was really incentive to get us to do all the things. And our high school coach at that time was Roy Domick, and I know that he was real interested in our as basketball players, and he would have us come up and scrimmage the sophomore team, and we had quite a few opportunities to play quite a bit. I was in the gym a lot.
This Doc Sheffield, was he on the faculty?
He was a physical education teacher at the junior high school.
The junior high.
I think that he started wrestling, and he was a wrestler or had been, and he was assistant coach in football in high school at different times, and was involved in the athletic scene quite a bit.
You don't remember which college Doc Sheffield had gone to?
I wonder if he didn't come out of Luther. I'm not too sure.
How about when you were in high school? Who was the football coach then?
When I got to high school, Cliff Helmrest came to Morehead, and he was both the basketball and the football coach in track. He coached everything. That was kind of tradition at that time. And Helmrest is kind of part of the tradition of the athletic excellence at Morehead. Helmrest was a great athlete in Morehead during the latter 20s, in 28, 29, and 30. And there was a length of time there for about 4 or 5 years, and probably even more than that, where the Morehead High School team was involved in the state tournament and won the state tournament in 1928 and probably 29. And they went on to a national tournament, and Cliff was the star at that time, along with other people around town like Johnny Walker and the Melby boys, Bob and Carol, and Moran, Pete Urine, and some of those people are still around. But they started a great tradition of athletics, and I think a number of those people from that team went on to Concordia College and made a name for them, continue that tradition over there, and made a name for themselves and for the city. But then Cliff was our coach, and right before Cliff came, Roy Domick was a basketball coach and had some success in 41 and 42. He took the basketball team to the state tournament, and I think they were beaten out by Buell, if I recall, at that time. There was some good basketball played with people. I think Wally Saline, that's around town, and was taught at Morehead High School for a long time, was an all-state selection from that team. Some other people, Gordy Munson, that taught at Morehead High School. Weary, Glenn Melby, who was a teacher over in the Fargo school system, were on that state tournament team.
So this was the 1940-41 team?
41-42 team.
Or 41-42 team. Yeah. How about, who are some of your teammates?
Well, I think some of those are still around. Dean Atchison is in town. Jim Fay was on the team. Marv Scar. There was Jim McDonald, who went on to play at Morehead State and then at Hamlin University, who was an outstanding athlete. Let's name a few of them.
How about some of your football teammates? Same fellows, I suppose.
By that time, if you played one, you played it all, I guess. But I, as I look around town, we have quite a few of the old teammates that are still here. Gar Anderson used to be the fire chief. Was on our class. Torson. Jimmy Fay again, and Marvy Scar and Atchison. We had a Urine that was an all-state football player for us at that time. He played fullback. And then there was a Nemziks. Well, we could go out with lots of names.
With names from all over town. Who was probably some of the outstanding track athletes during the time you were in high school?
Well, there was Bobby Dodds was ahead of me a little bit. I remember he ran a 400. There was Phil Benedict that was a good track person. A couple of years before us was Dick Hilton. He was on that basketball team that went to state. Was a real outstanding pole vaulter. And I think there's a Frankie Torson, Dave Torson's brother, was an outstanding track person. When I was in high school, I don't think there was anybody that was like a state contender or any of that caliber. But over the years, there was, going into later history, there was a Lamsky that was a real outstanding hurdler. Then there was a Giggler, I think Byron Giggler. That was in the early 60s. Byron Giggler made enough points by himself to be the state champion. He was an outstanding hurdler, high jumper, long jumper.
When you're naming these outstanding hurdlers, I also think of Van Raden in that group.
Yes, Van Raden. Van Raden went to Minnesota on a scholarship and was doing quite well until he decided to discontinue his education. But he was that type of an athlete that he could have done well in the University of Minnesota. And we've had a number of state champions. The Locken brothers, Dave and Greg. Greg was state champion 100-meter dash, 100-yard dash. Dave Sedell. Both those boys were from Sabin. And the year they were at the state tournament, they made enough points between them to win the state meet. And so, in essence, Sabin could have been the state champion in track that year with those two boys. They were outstanding. And then we've had Jimmy Gravin was a state 100-meter dash. Dave Grinacher was a hurdle and 100-meter dash champion. And, we could name a number of them. And we've had a number of girls that have been excellent in our track tradition, too.
I was just thinking when you were talking about these that there were some families mentioned. Probably, in my mind, the greatest family combination would have been the Grinachers, Mary and David.
Well, they were outstanding.
Both in their own right.
I think probably if we looked at it and took an outstanding athlete from Ord High School, probably Dave would have to be considered one of the best. But he was a late maturer. Dave was quite small until his middle of his junior year. He started to grow. And by the time he left the high school, he was a good-sized athlete and went on, of course, to start Concordia in both track and football and had a tryout.
Mary started at Wisconsin in track. I think she's coaching track out east somewhere.
Yes, she is.
Smith College or somewhere. Let's go on with the story of Phil Seljavold here as he leaves Morehead High School. What happened to Phil then?
Well, it was kind of natural that we either went to Morehead State University or Concordia College. I lived over near the campus of Concordia College, and I spent an awful lot of my free time in the gymnasium over there. That was kind of open, and if it wasn't open, we knew ways to get in to play basketball and whatever over there. And so I became acquainted with the coach, Jay Christensen, who was a neighbor, and so that... I went to the service right after high school, and when I came back, it was kind of a natural move just to go to Concordia College, and I think I had a good experience over there. I had a chance to play for Jay Christensen, which is a kind of a name in the tradition in athletics around this area. I was an excellent football coach, and I had an opportunity to play for him, and we had little basketball, which wasn't very great shakes in that, but we were on a team for a few years and had a good time.
First of all, what years were these that you were playing for Jake over at Concordia?
Well, I got out of the service in the winter of 46, so I was there 47, 48, 49 was the years that I played football. Graduated in 1950.
Who was the basketball coach then?
Jake was basketball.
Jake handled basketball.
He had both.
Okay. Did you participate in track in college?
No, I didn't. We had spring football, and so we spent most of our time in that, I guess.
Okay, that's spring football is interesting because at that time, Morehead State didn't have it. Now they've made the switch, and Concordia does, and Morehead State does.
Right.
If you stay still long enough, it'll rotate again, I'm sure. Well, let's see. Now you graduated from Concordia. And then what happened to Phil?
Well, I had a number of jobs. I spent a couple of years working in a sporting goods store with Stan Costco over in Fargo, and then I was in the insurance business as a adjuster and then in sales. And I guess about 1957, I had a friend of mine that was a principal out in Dilworth, and they were having a little problem with a teacher during the middle of the year that was going to leave, and so he asked if I would help out for a while, and after the Christmas break, they decided that the other person wouldn't return, and so I finished out the year. So I kind of came into education through the back door a little bit. And when the spring came, I was a good friend of Coach Jim Goda and Shockey Strand, who were the coaches at DeMort High School, and they said that there would be a elementary physical education job open at Morehead High School or Morehead Public Schools, and if I'd be interested, I should apply, and that they'd like to use me in their coaching staff some places if I would be hired. And I applied and was hired as an elementary physical education supervisor, I think is what the title was at that time, because there was one of us. Norm Feldy had the job prior to my taking the job, and Norm went into elementary school administration, and my job as an elementary supervisor was to go to all the schools. We had 9 elementary schools at that time, including Georgetown and Sabin, and to help the teachers to establish a physical education program and to introduce new programs that they could continue on when the specialist wasn't there. And we continued in that capacity for 10 years.
Okay, that started in what year again, 58?
I think I came to Morehead in 58.
All right. As a FIAD specialist, and you went out to the elementary schools, did you actually teach the classes then?
I taught the classes while I was there. And what we try to do is introduce new materials for the teachers and get them started on something and try to encourage them to have a good, sound physical education program with their classes. And a lot of those teachers were not trained in physical education at all and were not familiar with how to teach or techniques of teaching. And our job really was to help them.
Okay, as you moved now to athletic director in 1968, this was the time when, just prior really to the big start in girls' sports in Minnesota, well, and throughout the country. Could you give us some background on how it affected Morehead, this change?
Well, it was kind of at a good time for us. We had just moved into our new school building. We were open for 1 year, the new high school. And we were kind of ahead of the time in our girls' athletics. We had a physical education teacher by the name of Paula Bauck that had a very extensive GAA program for the girls, included a lot of the activities, a lot of the sports, really. And she had gymnastics, she had a good track program, and she had volleyball and these things included. And she moved that into an extra Merle, where she would play at other schools if there were schools around that would participate. And particularly in track, we had a good track program. We had some outstanding people. Kathy Coyle was one of our early track stars. She's affiliated with one of the TV stations in town. I had a daughter that ran with her at that time, and there was a number of other girls, Roberta Schroeder, so I can remember some of the names that were outstanding. And they did have some invitational track meets throughout the state at that time that we would go to, and they were kind of, the winners of those was kind of a mythical state champion. And it usually wasn't a contest. Morehead was usually the winner. We had some good ones. And so then when the high school league decided that it was time to put in girls' athletics, we were kind of ready for it. And we also had some other teachers in our staff at that time that were capable coaches. And I think we started out with swimming, and I think it was volleyball, gymnastics, and track, I believe, were the first sports that we started, and possibly tennis, and with the idea that we were going to kind of move slowly, but it kind of snowballed, and it came upon us fast, and it moved fast within the state, and we kept adding the sports as rapidly as we could, and as rapidly as there were other schools that had the sports. And basketball was added a little bit later. Golf was added early. One of the later sports that we put in was softball for the girls, and now we've added soccer this year. So I think that we have now 10 sports for girls, I believe it is, which is quite a jump in a matter of 10 to 15 years.
Approximately what year did this start?
I think 1972, I believe, was the year that the high school league recognized and sanctioned the girls' sports on the same basis as boys.
And just quickly, because of another interview we had, it started in 72, and then 73, 74, and 75, Moorhead was the state track champions in girls' sports.
Yes. Well, I think that's, as we said before, that was kind of the tradition that we were, we'd already started that, and we had a tradition going in track, and we just continued on.
Paula Bauck is spelled B-A-U-C-K. Let's go to some of the coaches you remember from your time. Well, before your time or during your time as athletic director?
Well, there was a pretty long time when you had one or two coaches in the school system, and they kind of ran the show. Back in the late 20s, a man by the name of Glenn Hanna was the man that was the leader for all those great teams in basketball, and I guess he had the football teams at that time also. Glenn left. Then Roy Domick came in as a basketball coach and was there for a long time. There was a fellow by the name of Christofferson that was a football coach and was still there when I was a sophomore. And then, of course, the Warriors came along, and that kind of cleaned out most of the male teachers. But Helmrath did stay and was there all during our career. Then after that, there were some other coaches that were for a short time. Dwayne Holberg, of course, was a coach there for a while in football, and I think he really picked up the program and did a lot of innovative things to get the football on a high plane. And there was Jerry Olson, Clyde McDonald were interim coaches in a period of time there. And Shockey came to Moorhead as a basketball coach, I think, in 1948. And he worked in football all the years that he was there with McDonald and with Jerry Olson and with Jimmy Gota. Came, I think, in 1954 as a head coach. And Jimmy was the head coach until 1976, 78. And then I can't exactly remember which year it was, but he was there for a real long time. Shockey was the basketball coach from 48 until 68, and Bill Quinette came in and was their basketball coach until about 5 years ago when Chuck Gulsbeek became the basketball coach. But there was a length of time there when Coach Gota and Coach Strand were the coaches of Moorhead High School, and they had, between them, they had football, basketball, and track. And baseball was another sport that we've had for a long time, and we've had a number of different coaches that have coached that over the years. When Jimmy left, Craig McComb was a football coach for a period of 3-4 years, and now we've had Dan Kostich, and of course, when we moved into the new building in 1968, we went into a broader program for boys sports too. We have had wrestling at Moorhead High School. The gentleman I talked about, Doc Sheffield, started that way back in the 40s, and then Bill Pierce continued on with that for a long time, and then Dan Gronke was a coach there, and then Coach Ron Gadberry. And I think we probably had our greatest success in wrestling during Gadberry's tenure. We were at the state tournament as a team a number of times, and we had a number of state champions in wrestling over the period of time. Another sport that was with us for a long time was gymnastics, boys gymnastics, and we were one of the few schools that had that, but Bill Hansen came here when I was in high school, 1943, I believe it was, and he had a background of gymnastics, and he was a junior high school teacher, and he started these youngsters in gymnastics, and he'd work with them after school, and as they continued on through high school, they kept coming back and would work with them, and so first thing we knew, we had a gymnastics team, and we had some pretty good people that were gymnasts at that time. Gilly Gillespie, I remember, was a state champion on the trampoline, and we had some other people that had been pretty good gymnasts. So, and baseball, I believe that started in the early 50s where we had a high school team. I believe Bill Hansen was probably the first baseball coach. Over the years, Vern Nolting was a coach at one time. Bill Quinette was a coach for a period of time. Jim Hurley is our present coach, and that's been a sport that we've had some good success with.
I think as you talked about all these people, the names of Shockey Strand and Jimmy Gota were the big ones for about 25 years or so in Moorhead sports, where they handled between the two of them the three big sports.
Well, Coach Gota was the football coach and Strand was assistant coach for a length of time, so they went hand in hand. In basketball, it was just reverse. Strand was the head coach and Jimmy was the assistant. And in track, Shockey was the head coach and Jimmy was assistant there. And the bulk of the students were athletes, were football players and or basketball players. And so they kind of had a handle on all those boys. And when it got to track, you better be there or else. And they just got a tradition going. And matter of fact, they got a tradition going in all those sports where the kids down in elementary schools really look forward to being on their teams and playing for those people. I think that we probably should mention, too, though, that back in our elementary program, we did have an extensive elementary program with all the schools, and we had coaches, and we would have a basketball league, and we had elementary track meet that started way back. I think that probably Bill Hansen started that at one time long ago, and it was continued on with Feldy and then myself, and I think another person that we should talk about there is L.V. Lund was a great promoter of track, and he's put on lots of track meets in junior high school and elementary, and so that our kids. Then we had people that in the summertime, I think you were involved in that a lot of time as you were hauling your daughters around to the track meets and your son to Bismarck and where else to the AAU track meets. And people like Norm Feldy and Sparky Coyle was a person that was interested in these AAU meets. And our kids just kind of went to those things and became a tradition. It was natural for them to be offered track. And I think that our kids, in the same way, look forward to being on those track teams. But we expanded that elementary program to not basketball. We went into wrestling, and I think that that was the start of our really a good wrestling program because we started to have families that were wrestling families, and we had a wrestling tournament down in grade school every year, and it was interesting to see the champions that we take pictures of them every year, and it's interesting to see about 5-6 years later that they would be the same kids that were on the team and that were going to the state wrestling tournaments. And so I think that those have all been good. And for a while there, we had three junior high schools, the South, the North, and Central, and we had excellent coaching in those schools. I think the Eddie Fortin at the South Junior High School in football had that for a long time, and Billy Iverson, excellent basketball coach. L.V. Lund at Central Junior High School, Doyle Dodson and Charlie Crumwoody and people like that at the North, and they were really interested in our athletic program and did a great job of coaching and preparing the kids for the for the high school, and I think that's where our traditions came from.
One of the last things we'd like to talk about would be the facilities. But one sport we haven't talked about yet, and it's tied in with facilities quite a bit, and that's hockey.
Well, hockey, we started hockey back in the mid-60s, I believe, and the person we have to give credit for that was Chuck Watson. Chuck had a background of hockey and liked it, and he got things going, and I guess I talked to Chucky, who was athletic director at that time, and I think we got some uniforms out of Park River or someplace that discontinued hockey, and so we started on a small basis, I guess. I remember the kids going out in the cold. They'd go out by Dilworth, that's to that slough out there between Dilworth and Linden, and early in the year, and shovel the ice off, or snow off there in practice, and then we got rinks around town. And then finally, Fargo built their indoor facility, and then we started to rent time over there and got our program on a solid basis. And then Mike Hyostik was hired as our coach, and he had a background of hockey playing at Thief River Falls and was coaching at Red Lake Falls before he came here. And then we, the Hockey Association and the city and the school and the county got together and put up our hockey facility. I believe that was in the mid, about 75, I believe, was the first year we had that. So our hockey has been, has really gone great. And Terry Shercliffe came in as our hockey coach, and Terry has spent a few years as a hockey coach at the UMD. And high caliber of hockey coaching and playing, and so he brought some expertise here. And this last year, we ended up as runner-up in the section, which is the highest finish that we've ever had in hockey. And we think our hockey program is solid and compete with anybody in the state at this time.
Let's talk about facilities. I know that over the years, with two colleges in town and the high school, that generally they've tried to use whatever is the best facility available. You want to give us a little history of that?
Well, it's kind of amazing that Morehead has had the tradition of athletics that we've had, considering the facilities. I guess probably facilities don't make a team, because if it did, we wouldn't be very good. When I came to play at Morehead High School, we did not have any facilities. And matter of fact, we did have a gymnasium at Central Junior High School, which was a new building, and that had a nice gymnasium at that time. Concordia College was even playing their games over there, but that was the only facility we had. We did not have a track. We did not have a football facility. Morehead High School, as long as I can remember, and much before that, have played their games always at Morehead State University, and also used the track at Morehead State University. The last few years, after Concordia built their new stadium, we have had a few games over there, but most of the time that's when we have conflicts at Morehead State University. The first facility that we ever did have at all, as far as track was concerned, is when we built our new building in 1970, we constructed a track, which really ended up being a disaster. It was not built very well and deteriorated and was in poor shape, but we are happy right now that we are now building two new tracks, one of them at the high school and one at the junior high school, are going to be all-weather tracks, so we are going to have excellent facilities for our track program. I don't think that we will, in the foreseeable future, go into a stadium when we have two real nice facilities like at Concordia and Morehead State University for our football.
Let's just start with basketball now. When you were in high school, you mentioned that you played in the Central Junior High gym. Can you follow it from there, where Morehead High School played their basketball games over the years?
Well, we continued to play at the Central Junior High School until Concordia College built their new basketball facility, and that was in the early 50s, about 52 or 53 was the opening of that. And then our basketball crowds were getting larger, and so we moved our games over there and played all of our games at Concordia until we built our new high school. And the first graduating class from high school was in 68. And when we had that, of course, we moved back there. We have a real fine facility for basketball. Our indoor facilities are excellent.
So for the first time, from the time Central Junior High was built until the new facility, that was the first time that the high school team played in its own building.
Right. There was a long time there that we did not play in our own building.
You've pretty well covered the track and hockey. Where did football practice take place prior to the new school?
Well, when I was in high school, we would practice out behind the Central Junior High School part of the time, and most of the time we practiced at Moore State University. Moore State University at that time was kind of short of athletics because it was during the war years and they kind of shut down. And so we kind of had a little bit more run of the facilities at that time, but we had to compete with the Army unit that was stationed here. And the Army unit used the football field as their parade grounds, and so the grass wasn't the best when we played on it. But that's where we practiced. And when I was coaching with football with Coach Gooda, all the way through the 60s, we practiced at Concordia College. They had added their football facility, and they had a lot of room out there. Now the East Complex is over there, the dormitory, and that was an area that we practiced our football in that area. And we also used Woodlawn Park area some of the time for our practices. And we continued that until we moved to our new building. And now we do have a lot of area at our new high school, so there are football practice fields out there now.
Where did the did you have a swimming team prior to this new school when you have this good pool?
No, we did not have swimming at all until the new school, and our first coach, I think, was Wally Shear, and we've had a number of interim coaches during the years as we've been opened, but the last 8 years, I believe it is, Al Petrie has been our coach. Al has been going to college and going to graduate school and so on, has been available for us, and so we've been fortunate to have a person of his caliber as our coach.
Does he handle both the men's and women's?
Yes, he does. Unfortunately, he's graduated with his degrees and is going into full-time employment, so after this year, we're going to not have him any longer.
Is this, in a sport like swimming, I suppose, golf and tennis and things like that, do you think this might be a trend of the future, that you would have one coach for both men and women in those?
Oh, I think we would like to have that in a lot of areas. Because of the number of sports, I think we have 20 sports between boys and girls now, and you consider all the coaches that we have in the junior high school and the senior high school. Our staff of coaches in the junior and senior high school is well over 120 positions, and we have to get our coaches from part-timers. A lot of them that are assistant coaches, particularly a lot of college students that are working on their practicums or trying to get experience, and people throughout the community that have time that they can coach with us. So we are really looking for people that can do a dual role, take a number of sports, because it's just, there isn't enough teachers to go around to take these positions. And right now I'm looking for a tennis coach, and if we could hire somebody that was expertise in tennis, I'd just love to have both boys and girls. Our golf, for example, right now we do have a ladies coach and a man's coach, but our assistant coach is a person that assists in both of them, and so that's a co-ed coaching staff, and that works really well. And there are a number of sports that we really had a lot of problem. Girls' sports came on us so fast, and that there weren't a number of girls that had the background that could coach the sports and were willing to coach the sports and had the time. And so we've had to use a lot of men to coach girls' sports. And it seems like we've gone back to that more and more over the years, that now our basketball team is coached by men, and a number of other sports, we use the men to coach them. But that's not to say that we'd be very happy to have ladies that could do that. Matter of fact, in an unusual position, a couple of years ago, we had a young lady that was an excellent weight coach for track, shot put and discus. And we used her for both our boys and girls, and she was just excellent. She could teach that as well as anybody.
Phil, let's talk a little bit about conferences. We could start with the men back when you were going to school and bring us up to date on that, and then cover the women.
We've not had a very good tradition of being in conferences or having a good relationship in conferences. When I was in high school, we did have the Minn Kota Conference. It was Fergus Falls, Wahpeton, Breckenridge, Valley City, and Moorhead. And then we joined a conference that was a Resort Region Conference, which involved Wheaton, Breckenridge, Alexandria, Fergus Falls, Moorhead, and I believe Detroit Lakes. And we had a tremendous growth in school population during the 60s and into the 70s, and so that our school became quite large. We were up to 1,800 students in the top three grades, and schools such as Wheaton and Breckenridge were unable to compete favorably with us, and they opted to drop from the conference, and so then we did not have a conference affiliation for a number of years and have not had one since. And we've had to be independent in football, which has caused us a lot of problem, because when we went into the classifications in the Minnesota State High School League, we were the one of the only AA schools in this area. And the people in the different schools would try to schedule games within their own classification. And so teams like Detroit Lakes and Fergus Falls were in a different classification, which had been our traditional football rivals, were seeking games within their own conferences. And, of course, we were trying to upgrade our schedule, too, so we could compete favorably in the AA. And so after the Resort Region Conference broke up, we went into freelance scheduling, and we went to all corners of the earth, I believe. At one year, I remember that we went 250 miles in every direction. We went to Sioux Falls, to Minot, to Superior, and to Minneapolis for our football schedule. But I think when we did go independent and did start to schedule schools of our own size, that our caliber of football increased considerably, and we became much more competitive, which I think we have proven ourselves. But we've been involved in the state playoffs and gone to the runner-up spot a couple times, and done quite well.
You mentioned traditional rivals, but you didn't mention the Fargo schools.
Well, they're always there, we've had a great rivalry with them. Of course, at one time there was just Fargo Central, and Shanley was a small parochial school, which we didn't play against very often. And in the early 50s with Maris Brothers, and from there on in, they became a football power. And we did play them for a number of years. And we stopped playing them for a while, and then we did get them back on our schedule. And, of course, Fargo Central went to Fargo North and Fargo South, and they've always been good rivals. But we now, both of our schools have gotten into more of a, our states have gotten into more of a sophisticated football playoff system, that kind of eliminates our opportunities to play, because we have to play so many schools in our own state to qualify for the playoffs, now we are only able to schedule one school at a time for North Dakota, or Fargo Schools, which is really too bad, because we could have a great rivalry with West Fargo, Shanley, and Fargo South, and Fargo North. We could have all our games right in our backyard. But they're in their EDC conference, and they have to play everybody in that conference to qualify for the state playoffs. And right now we're involved with the schools up in the northern part of the state, Grand Rapids and Hibbing and Bemidji and Duluth schools, for our playoffs, and we have to get a number of games with them. So it doesn't leave much flexibility in our schedule. And so we are not able to play them as we'd like to.
I think, though, that other than football, you have a pretty big round robin of all sports.
Yeah, we play basketball at least one game with each of the schools, and in some cases two, track, of course, and all the other sports that we can. Girls' sports is unfortunate that the volleyball and basketball seasons are reversed in North Dakota or in Minnesota, and so that we can't play them in either one of those sports, and that's too bad, because that would be really good competition for us. That makes it a lot more travel for us to go find other people to play.
Okay, so just a quick summary, some of the problems you've had is facilities over the years, and the travel that your various athletic teams have to take part in.
Yeah, those have been problems, but our school and our school board and our community has been very supportive of our athletic programs. They see the value of it, and if it goes to the board or it goes to the city folks for a bond issue, we seem to come out on top, and we have the support. And I think that that's reflected in the caliber of athletes we've had, because we've had that kind of support.
Okay, Phil, thanks very much. Did we leave anything out that we should have covered, Phil?
Well, I think we went over the girls' sports kind of briefly, and we've had a lot of success. I think one area where we've really had success in the last number of years is in our volleyball program. That volleyball program was started with Coach Marianne Murak, and she got it off on a good start, and then we've had a lady by the name of Karen Schumacher been with us for 8-9 years now, and I think that we've been in the state tournament 7 out of the last 8 years, and have ended up as runner-up a couple of times, and have been third and fourth place all over the years, which I think has been just tremendous for our gals. And we have a tradition, and I know throughout the state that we're looked at as one of the powers, and we're doing a great job. I guess that all of our girls' athletics have come so fast, and we've done so well in them that I think that we can hold our own with any school in the state in most of our girls' athletics program. But I guess the volleyball one is one that we've really excelled.
Okay, thanks, Phil.